السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد، إن شاء الله we'll continue in أسماء الله الحسنى, the names, beautiful names and attributes of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And we have been talking, you know, I don't know the number so far. And today, inshallah, we'll talk about the name of Allah, Al-Halim, Al-Halim. And as we, you know, remind ourselves that the purpose of learning about the attributes of Allah to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes around us. And doing so, we can enhance our manners, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَخَلَّقُوا بِخُلُقِ اللَّهِ, have the manners of Allah. Okay, and these manners we sort of like know, but we need to make it a little bit, or get it in more, some details, so we'll be more conscious of it, more aware of it, to be more defined around us and within us. And the word of Allah, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Halim, I don't know a word in English that would, you know, translated literally, maybe forbearing is the one. Forbearing. Okay, does anyone know what that means? Okay. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, want to make it clear, I mean, in verses from the Quran, a verse from the Quran, one particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ النَّاسَ لَوْ يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is in Surah An-Nahl, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish the people because of their injustice that they do, he wouldn't have left anyone walking in earth. Everybody will be destroyed. So that is magnifies the attribute of Allah Al-Halim, meaning that despite the fact that mankind is causing injustice to themselves and others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not quick in punishment, but being patient. Okay? And being patient because he wishes to be so, because he is so, because he is Halim. And when we think about it ourselves, that when someone does not react to someone else doing something against them, maybe because the person is not capable of doing anything about it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all capable and all able. Okay? Maybe we do not do something about something or someone who did something to us back, because we want to wait until we really get him where it hurts. Okay? Meaning that the feeling of getting even is there. Okay? And this not befitting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite of his ability to punish, despite of he is independent from us completely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us time, so we would have time to repent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us to do so. Because Allah will not benefit from us anyway, or in any way, shape, or form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit from our worship, does not benefit from the punishment that he would give to the people. For what?
Upstairs room.
Why? Why do you want to go in there?
The girls
will
be in there.
Oh, okay. Okay, bismillah. Alhamdulillah. No. Yes. Yes or no? Yes. This one. This one here, yes. Okay, inshallah. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His hilm and mercy and compassion toward us, Allah waits on us. Okay? So we can eventually come back to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not quick in punishment. Okay? Now, we look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the Muslimin at the time of at the Battle of Hunain, for example. Battle of Hunain, when after Mecca was opened, after the Meccans came into Islam, it was just a tribe or two who were the one who were not a Muslim yet in the Arabian Peninsula. And they wanted to attack the Muslimin. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an army out toward Hunayn for the battle. And now imagine after Fath Mecca. Now those who, the army that came out was very well equipped and great in number. Those who opened Mecca were 10,000. Those who surround the hills of Mecca were 10,000. And after the opening of Mecca, more came into Islam. So the Muslimin, they said, لَن نُغْلَبَ الْيَوْمُ مِنْ نُغْلَبَ الْيَوْمُ مِنْ قِلَّةِ We will not be defeated today because of numbers. Okay? Now, this feeling that we are great in numbers now, we are well equipped and so forth, it is not the criteria of winning or losing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Muslimin a lesson, a very kind lesson. What a great lesson. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the enemy the ability to attack the Muslimin, and the Muslimin have withdrawn and they were scattered all over. Until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood and told his uncle, Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, he had a great voice, call them, Ana Muhammad, La Kadhib, Ana Ibn Abdul Muttalib. Oh, people, come to me, I am Muhammad. It is not a lie, I am Muhammad, the son of Abdul Muttalib. And they started coming and gathering around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And very small number who gathered around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the one that eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought victory through them. So again, victory came through a little, small number. But they were taught a lesson, kind lesson, quickly, and they were back on the path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives His servant and mankind in general the rope, if you will, to continue, and they try to, or they hopefully, the believers or those who are committing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislike will come back to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we have in the Battle of Uhud as well, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within one day give the companions changing from one condition to another, okay, because of His hilm. And because of His hilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't let the companions give them that which harms them. Meaning, if they were if they were winning, and if they won the Battle of Uhud, if they won the Battle of Hunayn in the very beginning, and so forth, this wouldn't have been good for the companions. This wouldn't have been good for the growth of Islam. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches them a lesson at the same time, bring them back to the highest level of iman, and then bring them to the winning position as well, and they win after the loss. And the growth of iman increases. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises rather than punishes. We have the companions who are the best of mankind around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we think that they will never, they were all, 100% in everything. And during the Battle of Badr, after the Battle of Badr, what happened? One companion says, after the battle, and we started dividing the spoils of war, سَأَتْ خُلُقُنَا, our manners became bad. Okay? But from good manners the companions were, the one who narrated this did not say who said what, right? Did not point fingers. It just says our manners were not up to standard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them a lesson. When they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked, Ya Rasulullah, you decide about the spoils of war and how it is divided. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered in Surah Al-Anfal at the very beginning, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ قُلِ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. They ask you about the spoils of war, say the spoils of war belongs to Allah and His Messenger. Have taqwa toward Allah and correct what's between your hearts. And obey Allah and the Messenger if you were believers. Okay? Imagine who's getting this word, the companion. When throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the answer, give us the answers right away when they ask. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ. They ask you about the crescent. قُلْ هِيَ مَا وَقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِ. Say it is time for you to calculate time, and it is for Hajj, to calculate time for Hajj. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They ask you what to spend. قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلَّهِ وَلَرَسُولَهُ ذِي الْقُرْبَ وَالْيَتَامَ. And the answer comes, say to them that the what you spend is for Allah and His Messenger, and put the category. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. They ask you about women menses. قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. Say it is harm, so stay away from women during that time. So the answer is right away. But when it came to Al-Anfal, the spoils of war, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. They ask about the Anfal. Allah did not answer them, say this is a matter belongs to Allah and His Messenger. Did not give them the division. How to divide it. And then start giving them advice. Up to verse 40, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them how to divide the spoils of war. Who gets what and what divisions and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Halim, He gives them advice, give them room to learn, teaches them a lesson, okay? Not quick in punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with not everyone is dealt with the same way. Someone who supposed to be in a high level of iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with him differently than a person who has a lower level of iman. One who is a lower level of iman and trying to start the path in the way of Allah and so forth, there is a more room for them to fall and stand and fall and stand, meaning making mistakes. Okay? But those who are in a high level of iman, if they slip, the waking up touches is very quick, like the companions. Okay? Immediately it's very quick. But at the same time, it is not a total, it's not a punishment, it is not an extreme, but it is a reminder, a waking up call, if you will, so they can get back to the path. So, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the companions, okay? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكَرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُمْ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the same ayat in the Surah Al-Anfal, the believers is when the words of Allah are recited upon them, their heart is tremble and it moves from the mention of Allah. It increases their imajra qulubuhum and zaratum iman, increase their iman. Here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said increase their iman, meaning telling them there that iman increases and decreases. So you need to get your iman higher and higher. And imagine Allah telling the companions, okay, ittaqu Allah wa aslihu dhata baynikum, have taqwa toward Allah. Imagine that. And the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha nabi, ittaqillah. O Prophet of Allah, have taqwa toward Allah. Okay? This reminder, this talk to those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love, it is from Al-Halim, from the one who gives chances after chances, who help those that he loves so they can stay on the path and go higher, in higher levels in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always was outside of the situation. Always looked at things from outside. So he can practice patience, practice hilm, so he can make a decision according to what is needs to be done, according to where is the greatest harm, where is the greatest benefit, and preventing the harm quickly. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inside a situation totally, he will be consumed with it. Therefore, his decision to do something about it might be clouded. Okay? Now imagine trying to get yourself outside of a situation that you are totally involved in. It's very difficult to do. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man come to him in the masjid, the companions are sitting, and he pulls him from his neck and tells him, give me from what Allah has given you. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took himself out of that situation. Even though he is so involved with it, but he looked at it from the outside. Now here is a man is coming out of Islam, insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even physically. And here are the companions are about to jump up to attack this man. That is, looking from the outside, this is what you see. But if we're looking from the outside, what do we see? We see exactly what the companions saw, right? That the one that they love so much, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is being attacked by a man here. That's all they see. But what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam see? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the worst thing that could happen. A man is coming out of Islam. That was the most important thing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes him and go right into his room. So now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam took him away from the situation, from the companions. So now the companions are sitting, they did not touch him, they did not say anything. Now this man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam started giving him until the man was pleased. And he apologized for what he did. And he made dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And thanked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for what he did. Then now, this man now is still in Islam, and this problem is solved. So, what is next? The companions. Because now they still have ill feeling toward their brother. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him, went back to the masjid and told him, before he went out, told him, would you repeat what you said in the masjid? He said, yes. So, see, Rasulullah wants him to, you know, prepare him to say the same thing in front of the companions. And he agreed. Did not command him. Just ask him, would you? Yes, I would. So he took him to the masjid. And he said the same thing that he said inside. So now the companions were calmed. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to go and he left. Then Rasulullah gathered the companions and said, the likeness of this man and us are the likeness of a man who lost his camel. And everybody wanted to help him. The more they ran after his camel to get him, the more the camel ran away. So the man said, stay away between me and my camel. And then he made sound as he has food or feed for the camel. Then the camel came to him. And then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I would let you deal with this man, you would have harmed him. Now a man would be out of Islam and you will be reason to harm somebody or to even kill a person. Okay? So here is an example of how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this hilm, okay, that he was outside of the situation looking at it. And he didn't want any revenge from this man. He wanted to help this man because he has a major problem. Okay? And did not have any personal feeling in this matter at all. Okay? And give him a chance to repent. Not by saying to him the reality of things. You see, that Rasulullah ﷺ could have told him, took him to his house and then told him, don't you know that you're out of Islam now? Don't you know that this way you're going to enter hellfire? Don't you know that by insulting me this would happen and that would happen? Which all would have been true. But this was not the way. Was not the kind way that has hilm. Okay? The way that has hilm was to calm this man down by any price right now. Just to calm him down so he can get back to his mind. His sanity. So what to calm him down with? Keep giving him. And that calmed him down. Okay. Now, without Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying anything, the man started apologizing. Okay? See? There was goodness in the heart of this man. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew it. So he didn't want to push him in some faults that he has. We tend to do that. We tend to try to correct each other by pointing faults. Right? Don't you know this, don't you know that, and so forth. And yes, that might work with special people that they know that you love them so much and they care about you so much. Okay, so no matter what you say, they're going to take it in a very good way. Okay? But people that do not have much relationship with you, and you start doing that, you're actually trying to get the camel back by running after it. And the camel gets scared and run away. Okay? But if you get the camel with something that he likes, then the camel will come to you. Okay? And when the camel is calm and so forth, then you could start doing something about it. You can take the camel now and tie him. This is the example that Rasulullah ﷺ gave. And this takes us to what is our part in being having some hilm. Because, you know, we know that in the names, we carry the attributes of Allah, or part of the attributes of Allah. Okay? Allah created us from His attributes. So, but we are human beings, so therefore, we can magnify these attributes or lose it altogether. Okay? And this is the best of manners, is al-hilm. As it says, it's Sayyid al-Akhlaq. It is the best of the khuluq, is al-hilm. Because al-hilm, it has to do with, okay, the attribute al-halim. Is it from the attribute of as-sifat or al-af'al, of attributes or the actions of Allah. Could we say it as a verb or as a noun, as an adjective to Allah? Huh? It could be both, okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adjective, he's doing so. There are steps and there are ways to deal with the people. So it's definitely has sifat al-af'al, that is, it's a description of what Allah does. But also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Halim himself. So he does that because he's al-Halim, right? He's not doing so because he's not capable of punishing you and he's forced to do what he is doing. No, it is from him. And as we began by saying, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hope that you do worse than you're doing so he can punish you more. Okay? So now, if we carry in this attribute with us, part of this attribute with us, this is something that has to do with what you do and what you feel. And that is very difficult to do. Very difficult to do, to combine both. Okay? Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a way to become halim, to have hilm. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّ وَإِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ بِالتَّصَبُّرُ وَإِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّ. To be halim is to practice hilm. To be a patient one, to practice patience. To be knowledgeable is to practice knowledge, to gain knowledge. Now the third one we can understand, right? You want to seek knowledge, you go to the books, right? You want to know about the Quran, you go to the Quran. You want to, and go to the tafsir. You want to know hadith, you go, and whatever matter that you want to know. You want to have ilm, then بالتعلم, that means go through the process of ta'allum, you will reach it. But this is something tangible that we know. Here is knowledge in the book, you open it up, you read it, you acquire it, now you have the knowledge of it. But now, how you can apply that in khuluq, in a manner. Okay? It is to act as if you are halim, then you become halim. To act as if you are patient, you become patient. Another word, put it in words. Put it in actions. That the halim person does 1, 2, 3, 4. That the patient person does this and that. You don't have first to become patient, okay, to practice patience. It is the other way around. You practice patience, then you become patient. Okay? As one scholar, he said that a man came to him and he said he wants divorce. So he said, give him the advice, it is the worth of halal, it is hated by Allah, and so forth. And then he asked him, why would you want to divorce my wife? He said, because I don't love her anymore. So he said, well, that's easy to solve. He said, well, how? He said, love her. He said, Sheikh, I'm telling you, I don't love her anymore. He said, yeah, but love her. He said, Sheikh, I'm telling you. He said, don't you know when a person loves another person, what he does? He said, yes. He said, okay, do that and you'll love. Okay? That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means by that. What a person who has hilm does. Now we know what it is. Okay? You have somebody is attacking you in one way or another. Somebody is doing something that is not right. Okay? The halim in inside react to it in a certain way. But you cannot get yourself to do that. Because you're not halim yet. Right? What do you do? Inside you're saying, this person, what he needs. He needs this, he needs that, he does not know that this is not proper, he does not know. This is what you feel inside of you. Because you do not have hilm yet. You're reacting to what he's doing. and being against him right away. But now you practice Hilm, even though you do not, you're not Halim. So you do not go and expose him. And you become patient with him. And you try to find out how you can approach him, how you can give him compliment of something that he is worthy of compliment, to be complimented with, how to make him comfortable, how to enter, you know, through his personality, if you will. Okay? And especially if this is happening against you. Now, that process, when you do that, it changes you from the inside. And this is a very important point, because all what we talk about is that is its key, to practice it before you become it. And then when you practice it, it becomes part of you. Okay? It becomes part of you. As remember, when we say, we said that the manners, something that you cannot acquire overnight, not like other subjects, like ilm. Ilm you can acquire overnight about certain subjects. Like you want a new addition, okay? You know, someone here can sit with you for a couple of hours, you know what addition is, okay? But then nobody knows that you are a mathematician now, unless some problem comes up and then you practice what you know, right? But now, like as we're sitting here and we say, okay, you know, Hilm is a good quality, so you become Halim. And everybody lives here and have Hilm. Now, okay, I'm going to be Halim. And that's it. No, it is not no words that I'm going to tell you that changes you on the spot. Okay? But maybe what I'm going to say from what the scholar said and what Rasulullah Sallam did and what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala did and said will give us the light of how to take the beginning of this rope and start doing so. Okay? As one scholar, he came and studied here, and he studied many, many things from management and so forth. So he said he was in college here, and they were telling him, teaching him, about, management and so forth. And he said he got really feeling bad about all of this because everything is so fake, he said. Okay? In order for you to do this and to do that, you have to, it's mechanism rather than sincerity. And then he said, and finally, one professor, he started his lecture by saying, okay, that's what the scholar is saying. He said, the teacher said, see, now you cannot really convince anyone with anything or sell anything unless yourself, are convinced with it. And you really, have a good feeling about it, and so forth and so on. He said, okay, finally somebody's talking about intention. And then the teacher said, so if you can get the person in front of you, think that you're sincere, then you'll be able to be successful. Okay. This is part of it, meaning how you should be implementing certain things, and then you eventually will acquire that. And that was the process of the companions, how they grew into this, okay? How they grew little by little and they grew into this, okay? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the later times, and many, many came into Islam, when he would be standing and praying, then those who knew Islam, they would hurry up and go and go in the first row and take the first, right behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would look behind and says, those behind me, those who have hilm. Okay? Those behind me who have ilm. Those who are the old one, the old companions, okay, they come behind him. Okay? And they would come and stand behind him. Of course, because of their knowledge and so forth of what is really going on here and so forth. So even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hints to us that in the Quran. Okay? By Allah by saying, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The salah prevents you from fahsha and munkar. Okay? What does that mean? Does that mean you have you are doing fahsha and munkar and say, because I'm doing fahsha and munkar, I cannot pray, and then when I stop fahsha and munkar, then I pray? No. Allah is saying, if you pray, you're a Muslim now, you say Allahu Akbar, you make wudu and you pray, then the prayer will take you away from fahsha and munkar. That is a mechanism that will affect you inside, that you'll be staying away from that which is not proper. Okay? We know that the very famous story of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, Imam Abu Hanifa, his neighbor, right, who used to get drunk. Okay, they say he used to be a singer or something, and he used to get drunk, and come home drunk every night, and then start now singing and saying poems out loud. Okay, and the famous poem that he used to say about the man, everybody forsaking him, and he left me alone, and I've been, you know, everybody forsaking me, and so forth. That was his favorite, you know, poems. And then Imam Abu Hanifa, one night he did not hear him. Next night he did not hear him. So he asked about him. What happened to him? They told him that he was in jail. So he went himself. And when they knew that Abu Hanifa was there, they took him in, you know, and some say this, he said, let him enter with his donkey, you know. I mean, you know, just let him enter, you know, bring him in. So he said, what brings you here? He said, my neighbor, so and so, you know, you held him, you know, and I would like to take him out. He said, for you, we're going to let everybody out. Okay? So he took him, okay? And he said, you coming for me? He said, yes, I'm coming to get you out. But from now on, do not sing that song again, because I did not forsake you. Okay? And he never touched a drink after that. Okay? That is hilm. Okay? That is not saying, you know, Alhamdulillah, he's in jail, so we're not going to hear this anymore. This is, you understand? So it was also a story about Imam Malik. When he was walking by and he saw a man who was drunk, okay, and things coming out of his mouth, laying down on the floor and the ground, and he was saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. Okay? So Imam Malik could not stand for such a mouth to bring such a word. Right? So he sat him up, cleaned him up, you know, washed him up, and said, you know, so the word of Allah will come from a mouth at least that is clean. Okay? And kept him, you know, and left. So when he came to, people told him that Imam Malik is the one who took care of you. Okay? So I came to him and asked him. No, I don't know exactly what happened afterwards. I think that the story goes that that Imam Malik had a dream. I don't know how authentic that is. That you know, that this man had left the drinking and so forth. The dream had something to do with you cleaned his mouth, so you know, for the word of Allah, then Allah cleaned cleaned this man for the sake of Allah, or something of sort. Does not matter the details of it, but point me, and of course these stories, you know, sometimes it stretches a little bit thin, a little bit, okay, of this, you know, there's some says who had that dream and then he saw a man in the masjid who was reciting, and he looked at him, told him who you are, and did not see. He said, oh, I'm the man that you cleaned my mouth, and somebody came to me in my dream, and so forth, and so on. But the point being is, that this action of hilm, of forbearance, of taking care of things, not reacting to that which to us is very so hard, it's so difficult to take, but to go the other side, to go with compassion, it brings its result. Okay? Now, it brings its result with us and with the people. That is an important point to know. Because when we have the manners of Allah, we are closer to Allah. Okay? When we practice these manners of how a person should be, and we acquire, eventually it becomes part of us and becomes our manners. Therefore, put these manners one on top of the other. Now you are trying to achieve this تَخَلَّقُوا بِخُلُقِ اللَّهِ as Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, that you have the manners of Allah. So therefore, you will start tasting the benefit of this. You start having the joy of having these manners. You find the joy of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said before, that there are certain things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in His systems. Well, His system, it is in order to get a benefit from it, you have to go in it and be in it as it is, not manipulate it and change it, because you'll never get the result. Right? It takes time. So when you want to plant, you plant in a certain season, and then you will harvest in another season after a while. And now that system of Allah is there, and you have to abide by it. You cannot change, you cannot try to put the seed in, you know, a couple of weeks before the time of harvest. You have to do the work according to the seasons, according to how Allah created things. So, similarly, the manners and similarly the attributes that Allah has given us, it takes time and you have to work on it to bring its fruits. It will not come overnight, but it takes work after work after work. Then the harvest will come, and you will know when you are harvesting the harvest. You will know when the fruit is there. And you will know that taste of the fruit, if you will, when it is ripe. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to achieve closeness to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to have the best of manners. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins and make us sincere in what we do. Inshallah, if you would like, as we are used to do, inshallah. If not, some problem. Is it? Yeah. Is it open or closed? Yeah. Inshallah, we will talk about this in some details, about as-sabur, inshallah. Yes. They are close to one another. They are close to one another.
Tadiana? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. This is one of my weakest attributes. I'm trying to work on this, like Sheikh Mahmoud knows, like maybe 2-3 years. It's so difficult. Yeah. 90% of the time, for us as a human being, we are in a situation where you cannot react because of something. Mm-hmm. You know, you are not capable of reacting, you know, or, you know, you lose, you lose your job, you will... you know, he will beat you or something, you know, whatever the situation. Mm-hmm. You are a loser if you are reacting. Mm-hmm. But I learned from, you know, what you are talking about. It's better to, if you cannot respond to him because you are weak, right? Mm-hmm. It's better to change your inside as if you are capable of, and then become patient.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
You are weak. Oh, that your perception of yourself that you are weak.
Right, right.
And that has to change.
Yeah, yes. If you said to yourself like, if just I could, you know, do this and that, then you did not do anything. You are not patient. Mm-hmm. You are just being, you know, you don't have a means to react. Mm-hmm. But we should, I think, that, okay, put yourself that in a situation you could react and you can do harm to him back or whatever, him, her, whatever it is. And then said, okay, for the sake of Allah, I am going to be patient. And, you know, and look, what, like what you said, inshallah, like this person need help, or how can I help him? Or even do ihsan. Mm-hmm. You know, the level of ihsan, that do things good to him, not because of weakness, that you're afraid that he will fire you or something. So that will teach us. If we did not do that, we will not be learning how to be يعني patience or halim.
You are describing والقاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس
والله
يحب المحسنين. Yeah, those who, the first step is to suppress.
Suppress the feeling, yeah.
And we are in a society that teach you not to suppress anything.
Right, okay. Right. Yeah, get back to him. Yeah.
And this is not right. There are certain things, actually, it's good that you suppress it.
Yeah.
Okay. They tell you, get your anger out, do this and that. No.
Yeah.
No. Okay. You suppress it, okay, your ghayz, your anger, and then you, the step is to actually forgive.
Forgive completely. Yes.
And then ihsan is to do good.
Yeah, try to good. Yeah, subhanAllah. Yeah.
That is the hilf. Yeah, and you know the story of that, you know.
Yeah, the imam who...
Somebody was pouring, water for wudu, and then he poured water on him by mistake. So he was about to get angry. So the person said, who was a slave, said that, وَالْقَاضِ مِنَ الْغَيْضِ سِي كَظَمْتُ غَيْضِي. Okay? Then he said, وَالْعَفِينَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Yeah, so he said, okay, you go, you're forgiven. And then he said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. He said, okay, you're free.
As-salamu alaykum. The point, I mean, you, about the time, it takes time, that's really a big point. Because you can't get it over a day or a month or sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Years. Also, if you don't see any change coming out of that, and then that brother mentioned you change yourself, that's a big point. Like,
right,
maybe you do something different, try something else.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you a better person out of you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you give up a little bit, give some ground to the other person.
Yes.
You think the other person has some, nobody's perfect, but I mean, there are different personalities. Some are, like in psychiatry, you learn some are histrionic people, they are outgoing, like shallow. Some are introverts, some are extroverts. Everybody is different.
Yes.
But to practice this, the other point, the great point of time and effort.
Yes. I said this a couple of times before about a person who's not a Muslim, but he's describing that point from the point of, social interaction and things like that. And he was saying that you need to give in order for you to receive. But when you give, do not wait to receive. That's when you're going to receive later on. If you give for the purpose of receiving, it is not going to work out much. And he was giving an example of that, the bamboo tree. He said a person who, had a bamboo tree, and he, small one, and he put it in the ground, took care of it, watered it, and waited for it to grow. And it was like only, a couple of inches off the ground and nothing. For months and months and months, nothing. Did not die, nor it grew. So, and he's taking care of it, fertilizing it, watering it, and everything, weeding it, and so forth. But what he was saying is that particular one, the root of it grow first. Okay? So what's growing, you don't see. Okay? and it keeps on growing, and you do not know. And then he said, within a month, the shoot becomes so high, and many other shoots will come all around the area. Okay, so result will come so much. This is what you're describing, that when you deal with people in a particular person, or the wife or the husband and so forth, in that way that you give him, but not for the purpose to get right away. Okay, that keeps good things growing and growing, and eventually the return will come. Okay, but you're not really working for the return more than you're working for this is the way it should be, and you have special growth for that.
I found a way to fix your attributes. This has worked for me, but if I do something wrong, let's say like I promise myself that I will not get angry or I will not fire up instantly. So if in a case that I do that, before the day starts, I promise, you know, I promise to Allah that if I do it, I will fast. So as soon as I'm about to do it, then the fasting comes up to my mind and I stop. If in a case that I do really do it and I fast, this happens one time, two times, three times. After 4 or 5 days, then after fasting and fasting, you realize that what you're going to do, and then you think before it. And then as the brother mentioned today in the Friday before the prayer, he said, put yourself in the position of that person, you know. Mm-hmm. Something is going on, somebody's beating up somebody, and you have to, you know, put yourself in the position first, mm-hmm. before saying, what I see is what mm-hmm. I see, and let me, you know, mm-hmm. dive in. And mm-hmm.
But you need also to fast, thanking Allah for the ability that He's given you to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Not as a punishment.
Not as a punishment, but like, okay. I'm sorry. Sometimes we have a habit of like eating and without saying, you know, Alhamdulillah, and getting mm-hmm. up. And this also works for that, because when you fast and then, and I forget sometimes to say Alhamdulillah, and then I have a rule for that. If I say it, then I'll fast so I remember how important the food is. And then the next time when I eat, I definitely say
You can do that from the way of that good deeds takes the bad deeds away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In this sense, you can do that.
I don't want... I don't want you guys to understand that fasting is something bad. I think this, I'm not sure if this was a strong hadith or weak hadith, but I think one day a person that, you know, the Sahaba knew that he was a theft and he was there for the prayer, and they complained about him to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say, this is a guy who steals what I see in the masjid. And then Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, let him pray, because bad things won't increase good things, but good things will increase, you know, by praying he will not become a theft, but mm-hmm. by not letting him pray, he will, you know, he has a less, I don't know if this was a true.
The meaning is sound.
Okay.
But the story itself, I don't know the authenticity of it. Yeah. Yes.
I read it off a book, but I wasn't sure. Yes.
One of the description of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet, it was his that he is the most ahlamuhum, mm-hmm. the Jewish who was searching that to see if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a prophet or not, or a messenger of Allah. So one of the descriptions said that he will be the most patient among the companions, mm-hmm. and I think he attacked him, right?
Yes,
he attacked him to see if he will react or not, mm-hmm. and then
and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, what's stopping me from doing the same thing to you?
Right, right. Yeah. So this is a great, great man, if we can, you know. Yeah. And Allah describe mm-hmm. only Ismail in the Quran. Ghulam mm-hmm. and Halim. Mm-hmm. He's the only one I remember mm-hmm. in the Quran mm-hmm. described yeah. this. Yeah. Subhanallah. I remember one story that one scholar, you know, also the people who are righteous and have high knowledge, mm-hmm. you cannot, you know, really. One scholar said, do not take knowledge from somebody who is not alim. I mean, if he is not, do not. And one man, he wants to test one of the imam, how much his patience, you know, and al-hilm. So he told, one guy came to him and said, I need like $1,000, you know, a loan or something. He said to him, okay, I will give you in one condition. He said, what? He said, go to that imam and insult him in front of everybody. If you get him to react to you, I will give you the money without loan, just give you the money. So he went the first day and he started with him, you know, cursing, insulting in front of the people in the masjid. And the sheikh scholar did not respond at all. So he get tired and went back. He said, okay, go tonight. So every night he started insulting him for like a week, every day. And then finally the imam called him. He said, come here, why you are doing this? He said, well, I need money. And one guy, he told me, if you get him to react, I will give you. He said, if you come to tell me you need money, I will give you money right away. You don't have to insult me all this time. So he was so patient, you know, the subhanAllah. And that's what one of the great manners of people of knowledge, you know. They are halim and patient. May Allah make us among them, inshallah.
No. Ilm and Hilm is two different. Yes. Inshallah, we will answer it when we talk about the sabur and go in details of it, inshallah. I'll see if we can attend to that next time in details, inshallah.
The word sabur, maybe, as I understand it, has in the context that there is no reaction needed after a certain action. In other words, one is patient when he is sabra al bala, sabra al marad, sabra things like this. There is no reaction after
sabra al ma'mur, or sabra al mahdur, or sabra al maqdur.
No. So, but al-hilm is when there is action that the person is capable of taking after a certain thing happens. So one is there is the ability or the requirement for a person to take action, but if he suppresses that urge in him
and do good,
then he's halim. But sabur is more on the there is no action or reaction needed. That's my feeling for the word sabur. I don't know if this is correct or not, but yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. For instance, if you are sick, sabr adal marad. There is no. What do you want to do? Or what can you do when you are sick? Sabr adal bala. Sabr adal. No.
You are capable of reacting, but you are suppressing the anger.
Right.
Yes.
Or channeling it in a positive way, like you said, being like this example that you mentioned about the slave who was pouring the water on the person, and that person channeled his helm positively towards becoming two steps higher, which is ihsan.
Yes.
Yeah.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيرا